Starburns Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.
Hello,
and welcome to
Filthy
Nerds. Because we're filthy
and we're nerds.
We mixed it up this time.
There's two of us.
There sure is. There's two of us, and we're about to get into one of the most.
I felt like we should mix it up a little bit.
I think it's about time. I think, you know, we've been doing this for, I mean, this is episode 56
of Marvel.
56 of Marvel, of our third season.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fucking episodes. For a while. If you haven't listened to the Harry Potter, the Indiana Jones, go back, check it out. Do yourself a favor. Nothing like reliving that entire book franchise. What a fun time. What a unique period in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
We had that opportunity.
Feels like a long time ago.
It does.
But also doesn't feel like a long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, there is no other way we could have done that without a lockdown.
No, not at all.
They're just, I mean, the amount of time, how fun that was like our thing.
Yeah.
Like all we had to think about was.
I love that. That's Harry one Potter. Of my biggest memories of that time in life.
Me too. And just being afraid and people hosing down bags of Doritos and stuff. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. Mostly.
I love it when people are like, oh, it wasn't that bad. I'm like, we washed food.
Yeah, we washed the outside of food.
Yeah, yeah.
People were in hazmat suits because they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And they still don't.
Like, we went to grocery stores with rubber gloves, masks. I remember I had a special mask for my grocery store shopping. It was my, like, the N95, like, the one with the filter on it.
Yeah, the over the head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I remember, like, covering my hair and then, like, going grocery shopping and then immediately coming home and showering because I'm like, you have to shower. You have to get the death off.
Yeah. I think I just quit grocery shopping.
Yeah.
And ate Andy's food.
Yeah. You're like,
I was
Andy,
like, I'm not going out there.
You take the bullet.
I'm immunocompromised.
Yeah.
So and I'll then, just watch from the window and eat snacks.
And then ultimately you got COVID. I got COVID. I think I got COVID from going to the nice grocery store, which was Gelson's.
Oh, well, it's because rich people think that they're above things. I think. I don't know.
I mean, maybe they don't. Yeah. Anywho. You guys, we're digging into a fucking good one today. Black Panther.
Oh, yeah. Black Panther is happening.
All right. So Black Panther kicks off thousands of years ago.
Yeah. First of all, how fucking excited are we for this movie, though?
This is the one I'd seen most recently, probably. No. I saw some of Endgame, but not enough to... Like, I just saw it briefly on the plane and fell asleep.
That it'll do that to you, you know.
I mean, but I fall asleep in everything on a plane because the second I hear the of the noise on the plane,
it's like it's white noise.
Yeah, it's my white noise.
It's white noise. The sound of luxurious travel. White noise.
White privilege.
So it's again, it's like how we see sometimes in the Thor movies. We need some backstory. Uh-huh. Is how this goes.
This was a very quick backstory. I love that because it was just like thousands of years ago. There were five African tribes and they go to war over this meteorite that contain vibranium, which, as we know, is the big thing that.
Yeah, this is like a very up to this point. We know it as an extremely rare metal. It's what Captain America's shield is made out of.
Uh-huh.
The rarest of all metals. And
we see this warrior that ingests this heart shaped herb. It's
a beautiful.
And he gets
flower.
Superhuman abilities and he transforms into the first Black Panther ever. So Black Panther is passed down.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's passed down to the rightful person when the lead Black Panther passes away. So what happened was these five tribes were constantly warring. Black Panther came into existence and he was able to unite most of the tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Four out of the five.
The Jabari tribe headed to the mountains and we're like, we're going to do our own thing.
So the four tribes that stuck together, they formed the nation of Wakanda and the Jabari's like... We're cool. Yeah, we're going to go live in the cold. Which,
like, no beef, but we don't want to be part of your shit.
That, though, is, like, just a metaphor for when you hang on to anger over something.
Mm-hmm.
That, like...
Anger will rot you.
They're out of spite. Mm-hmm. These people are now in freezing cold mountains.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, but it's so great. We love it up here. It's a great view.
I love it. I'm so happy to be away from it.
It's not that cold. We've got like clothes for it. It's fine.
Fall off.
Yeah. Oh, it's no big deal. We have, you lost a finger. You got nine more. You'll be great.
Walk it off, but don't go outside the cave. It's very cold.
Because then you'll lose a toe and you don't want to be down a finger and a toe.
Yeah, that just gets real wibbly wobbly. So anyways.
Centuries pass.
Wakandans have used the vibranium to create insane technology. And it's nobody knows that. A, nobody knows that they're using all this technology. Also, they have built a protective shield that hides them.
Uh-huh.
Like part of that technology hides the true Wakanda from...
from the rest of the world. So they just think that Wakanda is a third world country.
Yeah, of just like, you know, poor African farmers. Nobody notices. They're just laying low.
And then it fast forwards to 1992, Oakland, California.
Yeah, a young King T'Chaka goes to visit his brother Njobi in,
who's
Bay,
working
baby.
Undercover.
Yeah, he's just chilling out in America. T'Chaka accuses him of aiding and abetting a black market arms dealer named Ulysses Klaue, who we briefly saw.
We've seen before.
Yeah, in...
I think we've seen him twice at this point.
One of the movies. We saw him, I think, lose his arm somehow in a fight.
Yeah, we saw him lose his arm in a fight. And then we saw him like two very brief times.
Yeah.
So it's not like we don't really know him, but we don't know him.
But basically, Njobi is confronted by T'Chaka about stealing vibranium from Wakanda. And he's trying to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But then Zuri, his kind of partner who's in on it, reveals he's actually been an undercover Wakandan the whole time. Like he thought that Zuri was just this guy in Oakland who was helping him pass some stuff.
And he's like, nah, dude, I can't let this go on. You fucked up. And then he's like, listen, T'Chaka, your accusations are correct.
Yeah. And he's basically like, you'll face the whatever board of directors is not what it's called. But he's like, you're going to have to answer for your crimes because he's basically been fucked over.
Then we got back to present day. T'Chaka's dead because
we
know that he died.
At the Sokovian Accords, right?
Yep.
At the signing
died at the Sokovian Accords in an explosion. And
that's where we had met T'Chaka and T'Challa.
And that's when T'Challa vowed to avenge his father's death.
Yeah, at the time, going after Bucky, I think it was.
So at the end of all of that we saw when he sees Bucky and all the guys like fighting with each other, T'Chaka ends up going home. And then T'Challa. He's like, T'Challa goes home and he's like, all right, well, I'm the leader now.
Yeah. And he does this. He has a coronation ceremony. There's a big coronation of the Black Panther that goes on when they pass it on to someone else. So he makes his undercover, I guess it's his ex, his lover, his person. He's definitely got a thing with this.
He's got a lady.
Woman, and he like pulls her out of a deep undercover mission so that she can come watch him be crowned king, which
that's some dick shit.
I mean,
but at the same time, how well they portray women in this community is a beautiful thing.
So strong.
So strong. Every woman in this movie has a valuable role.
Yeah, and is a badass bitch.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other way to put it that, like, what an amazing group of role models for young women watching this thing, you know? So, this big coronation thing is, like, they take you into water. It feels like you're going to get baptized, but then you also, like, the other tribes have the opportunity to challenge you. So he's in the water surrounded by these four chanting tribes up on this very high mountain. Mm-hmm. It's really cool what they shot. I would be curious to know where that was shot because it was such a cool looking.
It felt like to me it was a lot of CGI. It might have just been a pool.
Probably. It just looked so fucking cool.
It looked really amazing.
Ramonda and Shuri are there. Ramonda is his mother, you know, the king's wife.
And his little sister Shuri, who is like the brains behind all of the science going on in Wakanda.
She's this young, you know, woman, maybe not even 18, who is creating all of this insane technology. It's brilliant. I don't know if she's supposed to be an adult or not, but she just is that in that young, young adult age and just
very smart, very smart.
So brilliant.
And so the ceremony begins and that's when they call for anybody who wants to challenge to be the leader. Now is your time. And you're supposed to fight to the death.
Yeah. And like the four tribes present, the three tribes, you know, minus, you know, the one that T'Challa is part of, they all like, you know, ritually decline. And then
M'Baku, the Jabari, note that they're the tribe that was like, nah, we're good.
They defected, they show up. All of a sudden you hear they're like chanting.
Yep, yep. They show up and the tribe leader is like, M'Baku is like, I'll fight you.
Yeah. And he's real fucking big swinging dick about it. He's like,
and He does well, but he doesn't win.
But he doesn't
Oh,
win.
One thing that's really cool is right before they start fighting, they take away the Black Panther's power.
Yeah, so you have to fight him man to man. Yeah. Mano y mano.
Mano y mano y mano.
There's moments where it looks like T'Challa's not going to come through, but then he like taps into something deep inside him as
His inner Black Panther, because it doesn't matter if you have the potion, because you are not the potion.
Yeah.
You are a Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther is something more than just the potion you drink. So
just like Asgard isn't a place, it's a people.
Yeah, and as far as we know right now, they're floating through space. Mm-hmm. Last we saw Asgardians, they met a giant ship. Who knows?
So, anywho.
This was cool though, because it's like you fight to the end and, or, you know, fight to the death, but he holds M'Baku over the edge of a waterfall. He could clearly kill him.
And he's like, listen, I don't have to kill you.
And he's like, you can yield. He's like, you put up a great fight. Your people need you.
Yeah. Yield, motherfucker. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, which, impressive.
Yeah.
I didn't expect, because I came at this with, you know, my ingrained idea of toxic masculinity, especially in movies like this, where you think people will go like, I'll never yield to you. But he goes like, I like that he went, your people need you. Yeah. Don't surrender your life just because you lost this fight.
And this is really important, because this relationship comes back in later and is an important relationship to remember.
Yeah, and it also just kind of shows the heart that T'Challa is working with, that like even this like de facto tribe, I think he still sees as Wakandans, as Africans, that like all have to help each other. And so he's like, yeah, you know, no one else is gonna go care for those people in the fucking mountains, because nobody wants to go there. You guys are idiots. Go fucking help your people in the mountains. So, he yields. T'Challa remains Black Panther. Hooray! Celebration! Ba 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 ba. Then we cut over to a little place called Merry England. Lovely, bloody England. Sweet, beautiful England. Home of tea and crumpets and a queen who refuses to die.
Crumpets?
Crumpets.
I love crumpets.
Keys and trumpets.
Cheese and crumpets. I love a cheesy crump. Okay, let's not talk about food. That'll turn crumping, into
a That's
thing.
Like a type of dance that came around for a minute. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Cloud, the guy we talked about, the arms dealer, he's got an accomplice, a guy named Eric Stevens, who's an ex-US Black Ops soldier. We're going to find out he's Killmonger.
Otherwise known as...
Daddy Killmonger.
Michael B. Jordan.
I couldn't think of his last. It's such an easy name, because it's obviously it's Michael B. Jordan. Like, you had to add a
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael
sometimes.
Jordan was taken, but I almost said Michael J. Black Fox.
Black Fox.
Like, I was like, no, it's a famous last name.
He's quite literally a Black Fox.
My brain is turning to mush. Anyway, they are heading to London, our London Museum. There's a small...
There's an African exhibit,
and there's a small group of them, and they're going to steal a Wakandan artifact. This is going on while T'Challa's friend, a person, they're trying to also capture Cloud. So there's a lot of mixed parts.
A lot of moving pieces.
Yeah. So there's this really pretentious art lady who's like, I don't think that's what this is. And you see Michael... Killmonger, Eric Stevens, same guy, looking at this artifact and all of a sudden just like spouting information about it. And then I forgot how...
He basically is like, okay, well, then I'll just take it.
Yeah.
And they attack the museum.
Yeah,
much.
I was like, was it subtle, or was it just like they started fucking offing people?
But then it was a whole thing. And they basically, they had the EMS come in, and then the EMS was actually the bad guy, and then they escape with the thing, and it's a whole thing. It was a big steal. It was a big smash and grab.
Yeah, and they go out and we see like you know, what's his name? Eric Stevens, like make out with his hot lover chick, like, oh yeah, we're criminals. Oh, Bonnie and Clyde. Cause don't they have like an elaborate, like they pretend they're EMTs and like switch them up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Is that what EMS is?
EMT. Emergency Medical Technician.
Oh, you had said EMS.
You're a part of the Emergency Medical Service.
Oh, okay.
So you are an EMT, works for EMS.
I learn something new every day.
And you're learning that from me. Because
even in
why?
The UK?
Because why? I was pre-med.
So she knows as much as an ambulance person Chaser. Does. Chaser, yeah. Also pre-law. Okay. Clow apparently is trying to sell artifacts to some CIA agent in South Korea. So T'Challa, Okoye, and Nakia are like, oh, fuck, that's where he is. We're heading to Busan. Mm-hmm. Busan, South Korea. Beautiful. Been there once.
Yes, you have.
Gorgeous. There is...
There's a fight.
It is a big fight. There's fire and guns and crazy shit.
And T'Challa captures Clow.
Yeah.
But has to release him into Ross's custody.
Yeah. So Ross, we've seen him before. He's the CIA agent. He keeps popping up and he's like, technically I'm the... Which makes no sense to me. They're like, I don't understand the rules of international law or why you go like, I will bow to that. And I guess maybe it was the Sokovian Accords, but it's like, did those even all get signed? There was an explosion. But Clow spills the beans to Ross.
And he's like...
He is like...
Wakanda's international image is a sham.
Yeah, he tells them, he's like, look, there is a ton of vibranium
and he's
in
like,
Wakanda.
There and are, Ross there, is there like, more no, they're a third world country. And he's like, no, they're not.
Yeah, and Ross just thinks this guy's being nuts. But really, he's just blowing their cover. And as this is going on, Nakia and T'Challa are like behind the little investigation glass and kind of like, we got to fucking get... out of here. We gotta like roll quickly. All of a sudden, Killmonger shows up
to rescue Clow.
Yeah.
But Ross gets mortally wounded trying to protect Nakia.
He jumps in front of
the bullet. He takes a bullet for Nakia.
Yeah.
And now, as we all know, Wakanda, a place where they, you know, they would value this sort of heroic behavior, they were like, we need to bring him back.
To Wakanda. There's no way he's going to survive without the technology that they only have.
And of course, they were like, no, we can't do this. We don't bring outsiders into Wakanda. And they're like, no. This guy died. Took a bullet for...
This is like where...
Nakia.
Yeah. I mean, arguably, you know, letting your heart work instead of your head will, you know, possibly cause future destruction. We don't know. But he's like, no, he saved her life. We've got to take him. So they lift him into their fucking crazy Black Panther mobile that just shoots almost undetected this guy. They bring him and everyone's like, oh my God, what the fuck? He's not from here. White people. But they put him on a table and Shuri is the one. Shuri, this fucking young girl, his young sister.
Goddamn genius.
Is healing
fucking
him.
Genius. Again, amazing female characters in this fucking movie.
So amazing. So strong. I wish that there were going to be like breakout stories about them.
Yeah.
T'Challa starts questioning Zuri about N'Jobu because he now is like, wait, what the fuck's going on?
Who is this other guy?
This guy who like clearly is somehow attached to Wakanda.
And Zuri's like, listen, Zuri, N'Jobu planned to share Wakanda's technology with the people of Africa everywhere because he said this is what our people, specifically Black people around the world, need to conquer their oppressor. And that's what N'Jobu believes.
Yeah, so Zuri is basically outing the truth about what happened to N'Jobu, who was, you know, for all intents and purposes, T'Challa's uncle, because it's T'Chaka's brother. I don't know really how close they were before all of this went down because he was so young. But after T'Chaka had arrested N'Jobu, N'Jobu had attacked Zuri, which is so funny that like, oh, this old guy running ritual and stuff was the guy chilling undercover in Oakland all those years ago.
Forrest Whitaker, man.
Yeah.
With his wonky old eye.
Yeah, it's so funny looking at the guy that they cast and going, oh, they had to find a young guy with a kind of lazy eye to be like, well, no one's going to believe you're young Forrest Whitaker if you don't have kind of a lazy eye. What a bummer for Brian Moses that he didn't get that part. Sad.
You know, Brian had it corrected. I mean, you can still see it, but it was really bad when he was a kid.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's what it looks like corrected.
Anywho.
I say that, by the way, as someone who has a lazy eye. I'm very aware of it.
Do you?
Yeah, it's fine.
Don't look that lazy. It's pretty hardworking.
It just hasn't found its path.
You're like you're like, my eye is inside the body of a person who's a workaholic. Of course you can't see it.
Yeah, I'm just working really hard to keep it looking alive. So because N'Jobu had attacked Suri when it was revealed that he was undercover, T'Chaka had no choice but to kill N'Jobu. And then he enlisted Suri. In on his
actually
lie.
I think it was I think it was Njobu who attacked T'Chaka, and then Zuri killed him. Because remember, later on, Zuri was like, listen, I'm the one who killed your dad.
Oh.
And then he kills him. He's like, oh, good. All right. Well, then you're dead.
Maybe that is what it was.
Anywho.
But
that son grew
up
to be Killmonger.
Yeah. They left Njobu's son behind in America and just was like, we are not going to even like mention this. No one's ever going to know anything. And they just left behind a Wakandan who, of course, grew up to be Killmonger.
An angry Wakandan.
Oh, very angry Wakandan. At that
very note, hot, angry.
So hot. We are going to take a break.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
We're going to find out just how hot and angry he is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're back. Killmonger fucking...
Kills Cloud.
Like, they were teammates.
Didn't
and
see
like,
that coming. Gotta be honest. Didn't see that coming. I remember watching the movie for the first time, and I was like, wait, what? How do you just kill the first guy?
Yeah, no, it was very unexpected for Killmonger to kill Cloud. Which, not when you say that his name's Killmonger,
but he,
I guess it's not that unexpected.
Yeah. So Killmonger brings the body to Wakanda, because of course he's going to be like, this is my in. This is how I get there and I get in to fuck shit up.
Yeah, which I don't know. Seems like a heavy thing to carry around, but you got to do what you got to do, you know? So he gets into Wakanda and he gets before the tribal elders to reveal
who he is and that he has a claim to the throne.
Yeah, because people are like, oh, this is just some crazy American ex-ops guy. And he's like, no, I am... N'Jadaka,
and then he shows the lip tattoo.
Yeah, he's got.
And then he's like, "I want to fight T'Challa in ritual combat."
Yeah, he is like, "I should be the fucking Black Panther." It's like after all that, I guess. Yeah, you would go hey, give me my fucking, let me have the throne.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
killed
also,
my father.
This dude has been training literally this for his entire adult life. He was like, he was a black ops. Like, this dude's a badass. He's ready to fucking fight for his throne. So he fights.
Yeah, he's got scars on him, little tiny scars for every person he killed. He's yeah. like been ready.
He's a cold-blooded killer.
He cold-blooded kills T'Challa for all, like, he throws him over
a waterfall. So we don't know he's dead.
We don't know he's dead. And you have to go, well, it's Black Panther. He can't be dead.
You're like, well, how the fuck's he going to come
it's
back?
It's a lot that happens.
From a waterfall.
After that is when he kills Zuri because he basically steps up and he's like.
Yeah, because he's like, and Zuri's like, I'm the one who killed your dad, not T'Chaka.
And just
and he's like, all right, well, you're dead, mofo.
And then he eats the herb that makes you Black Panther. Mm-hmm. And he goes into, which we didn't talk about, how they go into this other realm. And like when T'Challa had gone to the other realm, he like went to this beautiful Wakandan like paradise.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then
when
Killmonger did it.
He's back in his apartment.
Yeah.
In Oakland and like reliving the story.
Yeah.
Like his dad telling him, and he's like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you? It's really sad.
Yeah.
He comes back because you come back out of it. And you're like, uh-huh.
And then he orders them to destroy all of the heart shaped herb,
which is fucking insane. Also, that they like that no one else was like, let me pocket a little of this because this seems crazy.
Nakia, mama of T'Chaka, of T'Challa.
No, that's his girlfriend.
Nakia's his girlfriend. My bad. Sorry.
Racist. There's a lot of names. She swoops in and grabs one before it gets burned. So she's got a little bit of it, which is like, are you going to harvest that? What's going on? There's the last one. It feels like a rash decision, Killmonger.
I mean, I just don't understand. They're so pleasant to look at.
I know they're so pretty.
It's such a pretty room. Like, don't you want to like get high on some heart-shaped
herb?
Yeah,
you know what?
Chill?
I guess like if... Where you go when you get high is a sad apartment in Oakland. Maybe you're like, no one needs to go through
true,
this.
True, true, true. He's like,
he didn't
no, but
see,
that
like,
didn't have to happen again.
The other side of, you know, Wakandan paradise when you pass on. But anyway, so he's ready to fucking take up the world. Take over the world. He's got like a whole crew. He's got Wakabi and he's got an army and they're going to ship Wakandan weapons everywhere. He's ready to be like, this is it. We're fucking taking over. We're going to own everything.
Yeah.
Really feels like very American of him, to be honest.
He's like, I want Wakanda to be a world power and bring up every other nation where it's being oppressed.
Yeah, specifically Black people, I think. Was that
the
thing that he
said? That was specifically, yeah.
He's like,
it was like, you know, we allow our brothers and sisters to live in poverty and live like shit while we're here with all of the answers that would just annihilate all oppressors.
Which I absolutely get that perspective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do not disagree with that.
I think you're taking sort of a dangerous way to get to where
absolutely.
You're going.
And you know, it's funny because we're doing Infinity War next, but you know, there are sides of an argument to all of the evil characters.
Oh, are you a Thanos had a point person?
Thanos didn't not have a point. Is it something we should do? Absolutely
yes.
not.
Oh, what were you going to say?
But it is
he's
a solution.
Not wrong.
He's
it's
not
like,
wrong.
No, there's too many people. They're populating the earth. But like, we shouldn't just randomly kill them. We should do it very specifically.
Very calculated. I'll help.
Genocide. Yeah. No, it's really interesting when you look at people's reasoning or like even when you try to step in the. Well, no, that'll be for that episode. But I see what you're saying. And I also see where he's coming from of like you've allowed people to suffer while you're sitting in this paradise full of the most amazing technology. You could be helping more people. It is that sort of like, do you close in and keep a nationalism like we love our country, let's protect ourselves, let's not worry about anyone else? Or do you branch out, become the United States, get into too many spaces, cause problems, sell weapons to your enemy, and then wonder why they murder you and cause terroristic destruction? Who knows? That's neither here nor there. Shit's about to fly.
So Nakia, Shuri, Ramonda, and Ross.
Ross, now that he's recovered.
They have to flee. They head up the mountain to the Jabari people.
Yeah, they're like, we need fucking help.
Where they find T'Challa in a coma that the Jabari had rescued because they had found some of the Jabari people who were down at the river found his body floating and brought him
up
there.
Yeah, and they rescued him because he had spared M'Baku's life in the fight.
Yes.
So this also is a testament to the type of culture that we're seeing.
Yeah.
We're seeing these little nuggets over and over. We saw them, you know, save Ross's life.
Mm-hmm.
And now... as an act of life for a life, basically, is sort of
great way to live. So Nakia, she's like, I have the
stolen herb.
The stolen herb. So let's give him this. It'll heal him. And then he can, you know, go and fight Killmonger.
But T'Challa burst back to life. It doesn't look like he was going to for a second.
No.
For a second, it looked like he was like, oh, no, you're dead.
Yeah. It looks like a dire situation.
But he comes back fucking.
And so then they head down the mountain to take on Killmonger and his fucking people.
Killmonger. And it's a lot. It's a lot
going on down there. First of all, they can't they're not winning.
No, things are going very badly. Ross is remotely piloting a jet, and it's trying to shoot down planes carrying vibranium weapons. Yeah,
also, these trying to planes take off to get vibranium out of Wakanda. And that's when they're like, we need to get all of these jets down. So that's when Ross goes into this simulator that what's her face? Shuri puts him in.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, you're a great pilot. You'll know how to do this. And so she has him doing that. M'Baku and the Jabari, they come as reinforcements.
Yes, because it's also important to note that some of Killmonger's army are actually the other tribes. Yeah. The other tribes out. And it's not like a fuck you to T'Challa. It's like tradition. They're like, well, he's a Black Panther. Now he won in the fight. We have to follow him. And when the mom and the sister had been like, no, we have to like fight against him. Everyone's like, no, it's this. These are the rules. But yeah. So the Jabari arrived to reinforce T'Challa, T'Challa against Wakabi and his army. We've got fucking all the badass soldier bitches.
Oh, the best part is when the rhino was charging one of the badass soldier bitches and then stopped and he was like,
and licked her face because she's the one that like cares for it.
Yeah.
Okoye. Yeah. It's like, also there was that sort of battle between what seemed to be her. I don't know if it was her husband or her lover, but like, he's like, you would kill me. And he's like, if it's for Wakanda in a heartbeat, I would kill you. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That is a level of loving your country I will never know.
Never know.
I could not kill anyone for my country, which is why I not left ROTC.
Were you in ROTC?
Oh, yeah. My first year of high school. And then I took the, what is that test? The ASVAB. I scored very high on the ASVAB. And not to brag.
It's okay. I was pre-med. I get it.
And my master gunnery sergeant was very sad when I told him I was no longer going to continue with the program. And my friend who wanted to stay in, he's like, well, we really wish she would leave and you would stay.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I could have been like nuclear weapons or some shit. But I would never, because I'm a pussy and that seems very mean. Anyway, it's not about me. Fight's getting crazy. The fight starts moving toward...
the vibranium.
There's a mine.
And the vibranium mine has this train going through it. Which is being controlled by these paddles, these magnetic paddles that keep the train from flying off the track.
Yeah, and it does something else.
Something having to do with
suit. Is it?
Yeah, it makes you. It turns your suit off or something. I can't remember. Anyways, it's important to know this because
this is such an important plot point. We're like, it does something with the suits where he basically T'Challa forces Killmonger to fight him on this track so that it's like mano a mano again. But every time the train comes by, when the train comes by, it stops the suits.
Yeah, it stops the suits. So when the train comes by,
they're both like jumping out
of
the way.
But that's when they're most vulnerable. And T'Challa ends up getting in a knife sim.
Oh, yeah, just as the suits shut down for just
as the train stops going by, he gets in at the last minute and kills him.
And then T'Challa offers to heal. He's like, you know, you don't have to die like this. And Killmonger is like, no, I don't want to go to prison. I would rather die a free man. I grew up in America. Mm-hmm. Very like, fuck that. Let me die for my cause instead.
Yeah. I have too much pride for death,
which
I have too much pride to let you let me live.
Yeah. Which is fucking nuts. So nuts.
Anywho, everything, all of the fighting's over. T'Challa establishes an outreach center. This is what I love. There's a scene where they cut back to Oakland.
Oh, yeah. And that's where this outreach center is.
Uh-huh. This is the same exact place where N'Jobu died, Killmonger's dad.
Yeah.
And they're going to build a center there. He buys the building that he used to live in. And there are these little kids like playing basketball on the basketball court. And Nakia and Shuri will run this this center, and it's going to be a place to, rather than reveal themselves to the world as having vibranium and being this superpower, they're just like, listen, we're going to do some community outreach.
Yeah. I mean,
we're not giving people vibranium.
Yeah. And like the plan is to, you know, open up the borders of Wakanda and really start doing a lot of this programmatic, just being involved. Like,
yeah,
T'Challa realizes, like, you know, he had a point. We should help people. But yeah, it's like,
we don't want to give them vibranium so they can, you know, murder their oppressors.
Yeah, real slippery slope with revealing where your weapons are.
Yeah, so, but it was the sort of thing where it's like, you know, if we educate the young minds of America or the world,
and we help them in other ways to, like, be uplifted.
You know, it's funny. It reminded me of this time I was flying home for my dad's, one of my dad's many, you know, Parkinson's things over the years. And I was flying home and I was like really sad and I was just kind of crying on the plane by myself. And the woman sitting next to me was like, are you okay? Do you need anything? I was like, no, I'm okay. I'm just, you know, I'm like really anxious about going home. My dad's not doing well. And she was like, oh, you know, you're my husband and I, we found Jesus. And she's a born again Christian. And she was like, is it okay? You know, we'd like to do something for you. I was like, okay. She's like, we want to pray for you. I was like, honestly, I was like, if you guys really want to do something for me, you can pray all you want. But when you go home, can you like find an organization and like give money to like children's education, like in underprivileged communities? Because like, honestly, the only way I see things with Parkinson's getting better is if we give every single mind in the world a chance to like get whatever information is inside of it out and put information inside of it as well.
Wait, you think that would change Parkinson's? What do you mean?
No, it's just like, I don't know. Like trapped,
maybe like kids learning
there's
to read
a kids,
will give you not learning to read, give them Parkinson's?
No, that inside one of their little fucking heads might be the answer
to
Parkinson's.
Okay.
It's like, just like there's kids
don't
have access to a great education.
And they have like these brilliant minds that'll never be
fully realized. Yeah. So it's for me, I'm just like, give money to those programs. Like if you really want to potentially do something that could help Parkinson's,
help the future.
Don't
minds.
Just fund research. Fund the minds that can do those research. Like that to me is like, what are we? I think that's the answer to everything is like educating fucking.
I just like, wait, you think kids not knowing how to read is giving them Parkinson's? No, education
no,
is so
what's,
important.
What's really giving them Parkinson's is the born again Christians who think Jesus is the answer to everything.
Prayer causes Parkinson's. You heard it here.
Stop praying. You're giving us all Parkinson's.
You're giving us the shakes. No, that's just, you're catching the spirit. The Lord is inside you. Oh, I'm feeling it. You ever see someone catch the spirit? Oh, it's beautiful and terrifying.
I've seen myself catch a load where I'm like,
just crying and yelling at the same time.
Anywho.
It's a great movie.
Then there's a mid-credit scene. T'Challa travels to the Vienna International Center.
Why is everything happening in Vienna? Why do we go to Nazi Central?
Nazi Central.
Let's go where the Nazis were and talk about peace.
Let's go to Vienna, where people are still very anti-Semitic, and it's completely okay. Anybody
it is
opera?
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Oh, and Salzburg?
Anti-Semitism? Oh, it's
worth
beautiful.
It. I mean, the streets are paved with gold that they took from the Jews. Now that I think about it, is probably why they're...
That's, the streets are so nice because it's paved in Jew blood. Anyway, so T'Challa goes there and he speaks before the United Nations and he's like, we're going to open up Wakanda's borders and help people utilize our resources to help the world.
Yeah, so it's big. He's going, you know, we want to be part
of... We want to make a difference.
Yeah, the better things.
We're awesome.
We want to stop Parkinson's.
Yes, we want to stop Parkinson's because Nicole will not stop complaining.
And then we see a post-credit scene where Shuri visits
Bucky,
who has just woken from his long-term cryostasis, his long-term coma.
I love it. Poor Bucky is at so many comas.
Freezins. Yeah, freezins.
Freezins?
He's right next to Walt
Disney. He has
Disney.
A million freezins. Why?
And it basically just her going like, oh boy, you got a lot to catch up.
Wow, there is so much that's gone on.
What a nightmare to sleep from those chunks of time and just go from like the, it's the roaring 40s. Well, we have radio. And then it's like, we can blow up things with the push of a button. And you're like, what happened? What?
You're like, wait, blow up things with the push of a button?
Well, we really blasted through this episode.
Listen, as far as this movie goes,
this movie to every actor in it to blast through me. Who's with me?
Yeah. Michael B. Jordan till the day I die. Honestly,
if the Avengers were real,
which one would I be?
No.
Oh,
you would not be an Avenger.
What?
IBS is not a superpower, no matter how much you insist every episode. Would you fake an attack to get them to show up?
1,000%.
Uh-huh. And be like, what? Who would be the most disappointing if you're like, I need the Avengers? Oh, I wanted to fuck somebody.
If Ant-Man showed up.
Are you kidding?
I mean, I think Paul
I want him to
really
crawl
hot.
Inside me Ant-Man and then just go full, just rip my pussy apart.
Just so you know, he's already Ant-Maned my pussy. Like,
uh-huh. It's just, he should do it to all of us. It's a service he should do to the world.
Anywho,
that's Black Panther. I mean, we blasted through it, but it's one of the best.
It is really great. I think the reason we got through it so quickly is because of all the storylines. It's the clearest.
It's so clear. It's very concise.
It's so, it is so like X, Y, Z, A, B, C.
It needs so little like fill in where you're left. Like, this is one of the movies that you could watch also without any of the franchise. Mm-hmm. And this movie also stands on its own.
I watched this without any of the franchise and I was like, oh, this is phenomenal.
And I think they tried to design most of the movies to like
stand alone,
but some of them but you want to give like just a few nuggets and it's just not the same. It really is great. I'm interested to see what they do with the storyline now.
Yeah.
Moving forward, since they're changing it up. I'm interested to see what that looks like.
Yeah. I mean, Black Panther really is the best. Well, if anybody can be the Black Panther.
That's true. That's one way to maybe Shuri will become the Black Panther.
Oh, that would be sick.
Or Nakia.
That would be sick.
Wakanda forever.
And Wakanda forever.
All right. Well, that's our Black Panther episode. Let us know what you think. What superheroes you would fake an emergency to get them to show up. Did you like Killmonger or T'Challa more in terms of like who you'd let smash? You know, who you would let
we all love T'Challa, but like if you don't say Killmonger,
I don't know.
Killmonger, that body. Good fucking God.
I think because I have sort of like, I don't know what I don't know what it's called. I can't look at clusters. They upset me. His body upsets me. Psychologically fucks with my brain in a way.
Oh, yeah. I love the symmetry of it.
Like my brain. I guess it's like pretty symmetrical.
Yeah, it's very symmetrical.
I don't know. Just little groups of things make me uneasy for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't like groups.
I'm so against groups. I won't even eat grapes.
Yeah.
You get home, you're like, somebody separate the grapes.
I need one at a time on a plate.
On a big plate.
A grape plate. I don't even know how you would individually eat grapes without seeing the groups. It doesn't matter. Grapes, groups. Is that what they're called, grapes?
Grape coupon.
It's a group, and they're like, what's a group?
Pon.
Grape.
Grape-on.
Grape-upon. Listen, nothing makes sense anymore. God is dead, and all we have is Black Panther.
All right, you guys, we love you a lot. Leave a rating, a review, subscribe. Yeah.
Follow us at TwoVillyNerds.
All the things.
Yeah, come to patreon.com/TwoVillyNerds to watch the rest of the movies with us. To be live when we're recording and more. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
This has been a Two Filthy Nerds production.